Ki pein emes li Yaakov chesed li Avraham. Pashtanim would probably say that titain is distributed across both parts of the sentence. Titain emes le Yaakov, titain chesed le Avraham. Allow me to suggest that lefi hadrush is titain emes le Yaakov, that Yaakov needed emes. Chesed le Avraham. Avraham had chesed. He didn't need to be granted it, given it, because he already had the midas hachesed. In this week's parsha, we'll read the story about how Yaakov Avinu tricks, with the encouragement of his mother, tricks his father and steals the brachos. It's not entirely clear what Yitzchak Avinu's intent was, what he was intending to give to Esav. There's a machlokes, the Ramban and the Radak, whether he intended to give Esav Birkas Avraham, because he actually doesn't give it to, when he gives the bracha to Yaakov, whom he thinks is Esav, he gives him Mitala Shamayim Mishmane Eretz and Rav Dangav Asirosh. He doesn't say anything about Eretz Yisrael or about Birkas Avraham, which seem to be the same thing. But when he sends Yaakov away, he says, V'yitim l'chas Birkas Avraham l'chal asachay tach l'mishnachas Eretz Migrecham. It's not clear exactly what Yitzchak's intent was. And was Yaakov justified in doing this? It's not entirely clear. Perhaps there were arguments as to why you might argue he was justified. But nonetheless, he's still engaged in trickery at the behest of his mother, Rivka. Remember that this was Rivka Imenu, who did grow up in the house of Lavan and Besuel. And we know that Lavan was Lavan Ha'arami, but I'm sure many Midrashim take the letters and they reverse them and you get Lavan Ha'aramai, because that was certainly his character. The Gemara Yevamos tells a story about Rav and his son, Rav Chiya. Rav's wife could sometimes be difficult in their relationship. And so she would ask him what he wanted for dinner. He would ask for meat. She would make chicken. He would ask the chicken. She would make meat. So then one time, or at some point, Rav would sometimes ask his son, Chiya, to communicate the message to his mother. And so he would do so. And then Rav would ask for meat, and his wife would make meat, and Rav would ask for chicken, his wife would make chicken. So Rav once commented to Chiya, he said, your mother's gotten better. And Chiya said to his father, he said, no, that's because you give me the order and I reverse it, because I know she's going to do the exact opposite. So Rav comments that, you know, sometimes your offspring are much smarter than you are, but he said to him, you shouldn't do it, because lameid l'shonam daber shaker havedelu. You still shouldn't teach yourself, even though it's for a good cause, you shouldn't teach yourself to do things that are untrue. In other words, trickery, even when done for a just cause, potentially has problematic impact upon a person's character, even though it's technically mutter. And this impact really is twofold. The impact is firstly on ourselves. And then, when you're a parent, the impact of this behavior can also be reflected in your children and what they learn. Because Yaakov engages in this trickery, what happens? He's forced to flee to Lavan's house. If you want to talk about Lashon Sagi Nahar, Lavan is probably the best example. Lavan was anything but clean or white. And Yaakov, by his name, remember, Yaakov, the name comes from the word, or the root, Akov. Now, I know it comes from Akev, but the word Akov means crooked. And while Yaakov Avinu certainly didn't mean it when he said it, it is perhaps one of the best double entendres of the Chumash. When he says to his mother, he's afraid his father's going to figure him out, because he says, "Hey, Esavachi ish sa'ir, the Anochi ish chalak." He says, "Anochi ish chalak." It means I'm smooth. So Lavan has to go to Yaakov's house, to Lavan's house, and one almost might have said that Yitzchak was punishing him that way. Kum lech paden aram beisa b'su'al aveimecha. Right? Yitzchak might have known what he was sending him to. And Yaakov shows up. He wants to marry. So he knows he's dealing with Lavan, so as the Chazal comment, he says, V'rachel bitcha ketana. Now, don't bring me another Rachel, it has to be bitcha. Don't swap Leah and Rachel's names, and then tell me you gave me Rachel, bitcha haketana. Of course it doesn't help. Now, of course, when Lavan tricks him, what does Lavan say to Yaakov? Lo ye'asa chein bim komenu, la'seis ha'tzivah l'fnei ha'bechira. Right? Because remember what Yaakov did to his father. Yaakov tricks his father, swapping the younger son in for the older son. Lavan says to him, well, yes, I'm coming to let's say such a before. We don't put younger children before the older children. Lavan cheats Yaakov in his wages over and over. In Yaakov's words, "Batachaleches maskurti aseres monim," 100 times, according to Rashi, or more. And nonetheless, after dealing with Lavan the trickster, Yaakov still hasn't fully learned the lesson. So when it comes time to go, Vayignov Yaakov es lev Lavan harami abalihi gidlo ki vareachu. It's not that Yaakov was wrong, but Yaakov, instead of telling Lavan, "Goodbye, I've had enough of you, have a nice life, too bad," instead, Yaakov sneaks away. It's only when Lavan finally confronts him and accuses him, say, "Why'd you run away? Why'd you steal my trophim?" Yaakov says, "Go search." If Yaakov were the old Yaakov, after Lavan found nothing, that would have been the end. But finally, Yaakov musters the courage not to kind of slink away, but he explodes at Lavan. He said, "How dare you?" Vayichar liYaakov vayara b'Lavan. And he gives Lavan a boatload. Like, Lavan was not expecting this. Lavan like walks away almost with the dog with his tail between his legs. Yaakov Avinu was now on the path towards not slipping away, pulling tricks to get away, but to confront the issues head on. But then he has to face Esav again. And then what happens, at least according to one tradition of interpretation, is Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, he was trying to flee. Not the only way of reading it, he's trying to flee. Because the night before he has to face Esav, he's turning into the old Yaakov. He's scared to do things straight. If Yaakov had had a taina about the brachos, he should have gone to his father and said, "Abba, I know you want to give the bracha to Esav, but it's mine. I bought the bechorah." So Yaakov once again still tries to flee. And then he's wrestling with an angel. And finally he overcomes the angel, but obviously he doesn't get to flee, and he asks for a bracha. And according to the Medrash, the angel gives him the bracha. The angel doesn't want to give the bracha. He gives him the bracha, but it's not really for now. The bracha is for later. In fact, Rashi quotes from Hosea, the interpretation of our section here, which is based El Yimtzeenu v'shami davarimanu, that Malach said to Yaakov, "I'm not supposed to change your name. God will appear to you in Basel, in Perek Lamed Hei, and there he's going to change your name," which is what happens. But what was the significance? What is this bracha? What is this name change? So Rashi already alludes to it, but what's the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael, Yaakov and Yeshurun? Yaakov is Yaakov. He's Yaakov the trickster. He plays games. Yisrael is straight. He's Yashar, Yeshurun. Right? Everything is confronted honestly and openly. Even when I'm taking what's mine, it's not, or what technically I'm entitled to, it's not through the back door. So then I ask, so I understand, but that's what Yaakov wanted. He wanted an acknowledgement that he is now Yeshurun. He's Yisrael. But he doesn't get it yet. Why not? I think the answer is in the story that immediately follows his confrontation with Esav, which is the story in Shechem. Yaakov seems to have changed, but he needs the Makkeh B'Pakas to drive the lesson home. And in that story, Yaakov watches as his sons play a game. There are only two places in the Torah the word Mirma appears. The first one is in this week's parasha, when Yitzhak says to Esav, "Ba achicha b'mirma, Vayikach birchasecha." The other place it says Mirma is Vayanu v'nei Yaakov v'shechem v'shamor aviv b'mirma v'yidaberu. I know that Unklus translates and Rashi quotes b'chuchma. But Mirma, if you look at the way the word is used in Sefer Mishlei elsewhere in Tanakh, is not a compliment. Yaakov has to see that his children have learned from his way of behaving. And that's the cost sometimes when we make certain choices in behavior, and even if we're right. And only then, after the story of Dinah, after the story of Shechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov and says, "Okay, now your name is Yisrael." I believe that also explains why, decades later, maybe 40 plus years later on his deathbed, Yaakov Avinu was so furious with Shimon and Levi, and he kemah curses them, almost. You know, in our story, in 2 weeks' parsha from now, in the story of Shechem, Yaakov is afraid because you did something stupid. You're endangering us. Okay, you know how it is in the moment of danger when you're terrified. And then when you get past it, okay, you look back, you calm down. And yet 40 years later, Yaakov is furious. And I think that's because it reminded Yaakov of the less noble aspects of his behavior that he was running away from. So what we learn from Yaakov Avinu, who achieved emes, titein emes to Yaakov, is that even in situations where something might be technically okay, it might be technically you're right, there's a right way of going about it and a wrong way of going about it. And even when you're entitled to something, the wrong way of going about it comes with costs. Lamed l'shonam daver sheker ha'avei nilu. Not a good thing. Rav Kook once commented that sometimes the ethics of the Bnei Beis Medrash are found lacking in comparison with the ethics of the man on the street. In the Beis Medrash, sometimes we spend so much time working over the sugyas, the hezek ri'ya, and it's a din in this and it's that particular, right? And we know every loophole in the book, and we might even be technically correct. But that's not Yashuas. That's not Yisrael. Right? You go to the person in the street whose handshake means something, whose word means something, and he understands differently. He understands that you don't behave in a certain way, even if you technically could make such an argument. It doesn't mean that all people in the street are more ethical than all people in the Beis Medrash. But we understand how a legalistic culture can sometimes lead a person to see the trees but miss the forest. The Yushalmi in Bava Metzia tells what is, I think, a fairly well-known story, but I like to quote it a lot, the story of Shimon ben Shetach. Apparently, Shimon ben Shetach used to be a work with flax, which is a very, very unpleasant profession. And his student said to him, Rebbe, why don't we go buy you a donkey so you can be what I call the equivalent of a long-haul truck driver? Apparently, many steps up from being a flax worker. So he said, fine. So they went and they bought him a donkey, and they brought it back, and they said, Rebbe, guess what? You're never going to have to work another day in your life, because apparently, hanging around the donkey's neck was the hooked iron. So Shimon ben Shetach says to his students, did the owner, this non-Jew, know about it? They said, no. So he said, go take it back to him. So they said, but Rebbe, even the man da'amar who said that Gezel HaGoy is Aser, Avedasa was Muteris. So Shimon ben Shetach said to them, do you think that Shimon ben Shetach is a barbaron, I'm a barbarian? I would much prefer to hear this guy say, Bricha l'hon v'yehudoi, from all of the money in the world. Of course, his students were technically correct. But that's not the right way to behave. The Smag, also in somewhat famous comments, in the Mitzvah Saseh that deals with Hashavas Aveda, the Smag says that, yes, it's true that Aveda Sa'akam is mutter, but it's because Jews engage in that kind of behavior that we're still in Galus. Why? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to come and redeem the Jewish people, the Goyim would say to God, this is the nation you've chosen? A nation of Ramayim and Ganavim? Oh, but it's mutter! The answer is, that's irrelevant. Someone once gave what I thought is a very good test of behavior. If you would be embarrassed if your mother knew about it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. The Torah has a lot to say to this world, to a world which seems by the day more and more void of meaningful values. But in order to be able to deliver the Torah's message to the world, the messengers have to be a bar hachi. The messengers have to be the kind of people who we're going to respect from the world. Halacha has a hierarchy of values. It's reflected in many dinim, but particularly in the dinim of Yehari V'ayava. We place a great premium on human life, and hence, almost all the mitzvahs of the Torah are set aside in a situation of pikuach nefesh or ones. However, there are three exceptions: avodah zarah, givei rais, and shvichos damim. Why are these exceptions to the rule? So I think that there's a very important comment of the Rambam in Perek Hei of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which sheds a lot of light on what a preeminent value in Judaism is. Supposing a goy forced a person to violate one of the Gemal Averas, and instead of giving up their life, they chose to violate the Avera and save their life. So the Rambam says that Hareza Chiva Las Hashem. He violated the prohibition of Alosachal Hashem Kachi. With respect to Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rais, and Shvichos Damim, he's Pater, because he's honest on those. So why then was it Aser? The answer is because of Chilul Hashem. It's that these three Averas are different than all of our Averas, because the Chilul Hashem that's created in their wake outweighs the value of human life. Which tells us that our primary purpose in this world is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. and therefore our behavior under all circumstances, whether it's something that is technically aser, which of course violating constitutional shem shemayim, or even if something is technically mutar, if it will be mechal shem shemayim, if it will make people look at us and say, "Eh, this is the nation you've chosen for yourself," so then that is something we don't do under any circumstances. Our motto should be what the Samar quotes. The Gemara says, quotes this pasuk in Bava Metzia, that you're keeping your word. Sheris Yisrael Ayasu Avla V'lo Yidabru Chazav V'lo Yimatzei B'fihem L'shon Tarmis. That Sheris Yisrael, the survivors, are the ones who there's not a single word of sheker. Everything that we do should be Titein Emes Le'Yakov. Shalom.